Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Slept through the last couple of podcasts. This is the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and wait a minute, did I say Friday?
Start spreading the news.
Oh, there you go. That means Schomburg Stu is with us.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
All right, if you'd like to call in the podcast and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we're still trying. We're running out of time, but we're trying to get Stu on Twitter. We were hoping for the end of the year, so hopefully we'll make our deadline. But if not, just reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward any message you have at all along for Stu. So there you go. We're off and running.
All right.
Well, running is a relative term for me, but we're off.
Yeah, as long as you're not off stride. That happened to a lot of my horses when they used to go out to harness racing.
Yeah, that's why I stopped betting the ponies, because I kept finding the ones that finished last. So horrible.
Yeah.
So well, you know, I want to say that the biggest name free agents are already off the board. It appears we are, you know, as I say, down to, it's not like these guys are bad players, but we're looking for Josh Donaldson, Hyunjin Ryu, and Dallas Keuchel are the three remaining top guys. Now, there's been a lot of reports about Donaldson lately, and it looks like he's got four teams after him. Two of them, and I'm a little surprised by this. Now, he just turned 34 at the start of the month, but two of them, which are reportedly the Twins, and I'm trying to remember the other one as I look here, have offered him four-year deals. I think it might be the Ranger, or no, yeah, the Twins and the Nationals. And then the Rangers and the Braves are also interested in his services, but they so far have only went 3 years. How you feeling about giving a 34-year-old third baseman a 4-year deal?
I wouldn't do it. The 3-year deal sounds a lot more reasonable to me. And you never know about the player at that age. Some of them can play productively for those 4 years, and others could lose it, and they could lose it quickly, too. We've seen it happen before. So I think it'll be a risk, quite a risk, to sign him to a 4-year deal.
Yeah, I think if I was an American League team like the Twins, I would be a little more comfortable because, you know, and I know there's talk of the DH going league-wide, but as of right now, you know, the Twins know they already have it, and it's a guarantee. You know, if you get him in that, you know, third or fourth year and he can still swing the bat, you at least have a slot for him. If you're a National League team and he struggles, you know, maybe you could move him to first base. But if you've got a guy there, obviously that's not going to help you. So it could be a really tough call. And, I mean, you could be getting nothing out of a guy who obviously you're going to be paying quite a bit of money to. So, yeah. I don't know about that fourth year. I would even worry a little bit about three.
It also was a risk. And I've seen players whose legs held up pretty well for at their age, but their bat speed just seemed to go. And when they're 36, 37 years old. And if their bat speed goes, then you might as well forget about putting them in the lineup, especially as a DH.
Yeah, and, you know, that would always be a possibility as well, you know, when you get to that age. And, I know Donaldson had a couple I'm trying to remember if it was two or just one, but he had that really rough season in Toronto where he just couldn't get healthy. And they ended up moving him to the Indians, as it kind of worked out. Yeah, that was 2018 where he played just 52 games. He did bounce back last year and, show that he was healthy. He played in 155 games. You know, the big 37 home runs, 94 RBIs. Of course, he did hit well under his career average. He hit just 259. Good numbers. He is a very good defender. So, that also helps. But, when I start seeing that and I'm thinking, okay, man, if you're going 4 years and, $90 or $100 million on this guy, I think I would prefer to research the trade market and look at a Nolan Arenado or a Chris Bryant to fill my third base role.
You would think so. And have they mentioned in this reported four-year offer how much money is involved?
No, normally that doesn't come out when they start talking about these because, teams don't like to release that stuff. I know he made $23 million with the Braves last year on just that one-year deal. So you would have to think it's kind of in that number, I would guess.
Yeah, maybe 90 for 4 years, or is that too low?
It's possible. It's tough to kind of guess. There is some speculation here that it's not going to quite be for $100 million. So maybe 90 is a good number. Like there's another report here that says 90 plus for 4 years. So you're in the ballpark there with that 90 million.
And naturally it would probably not be an incentive based contract, which would be the fairer way to do it. But we know fair doesn't work anymore, does it?
If the team was smart, they would front load it. So he's getting the majority of his money while he should still be a really productive player, and then when there's the possibility of decline, it wouldn't be costing them as much. So, we'll have to kind of see how that shakes out or how it rolls out. But he's really the top position player left that has a big market for him. There's quite a few outfielders left and we just haven't heard much on any of them. There doesn't seem to be a ton of interest in any guy, maybe just because there's so many of them still left that nobody's really in a hurry to jump out there and grab one. So Donaldson is the guy. I know there was talks that they thought they could have this wrapped up by Christmas. So it'll be interesting to see, if he's got a landing spot or if it's something that's going to extend out.
Since there's so many free agents available in that area, are we going to have to wait until prior to spring training before some of these guys are signed?
I think if a team realizes they have a weakness, they seem to be going after it this year. There doesn't seem to be as much wait and see, as we put up last year. I think the holdup on some guys, might be the fact that they're a little overvalued. I know there was a pretty big price tag on Nicholas Castellanos, and I just don't know if we're going to get a team to kind of pay the market. Because they were talking upwards of $20 million a year. And, I get that he had a good year. When he went to the Cubs, he was fantastic. but I just don't know if I'm paying this guy 20 plus mil a year on a multiple year deal.
Especially when the word is that he's kind of limited defensively.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I was surprised he didn't show that with the Cubs. I mean, his tenure with the Cubs was about as good as it could get for a guy heading out on the free agent market. You know, not only did he hit the cover off the ball, but he played really good defense for them.
Surprising.
Yeah, you know, the issue becomes he's not throwing anybody out. I mean, he's not that kind of outfielder. And I just kind of worry, you know, that in the end his defense is going to bite you, you know, at the wrong time.
Do you think that being said he'd be more prone to sign with an American League team than a National League team?
No, you know, the tough part is I know, you know, he's said that he wants to play defense. You know, he likes playing the field. And, you know, with the Cubs last year, I'm looking, you know, in his 51 games, he didn't make an error for them. He only made two in a Tigers uniform. So he fielded the ball, you know, much better than I expected him to. But, again, you look, and, I mean, you know, he had three outfield assists with the Cubs. He had three with the Tigers. You know, that's, you know, I mean, as a right fielder, you would like to see that guy in double digits.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, I mean, he's definitely an outfielder you could run on. And, you know, I know defense doesn't play much in today's game, but, you know, if I'm paying a guy $20 million a year,
yeah,
that's going to be an all-around player.
He looked like an adequate fielder, but kind of awkward to me. So, as you say, I don't see him throwing out a guy trying to go from first to third on a single. Too often.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's, you know, that's one of, you know, one of those things, you know, again, I get it. Defense isn't valued. Nobody cares. But, you know, when those guys are taking the extra bases on your right and left, maybe you should care.
Yeah. At that time, you say, well, maybe we made a mistake here. Now, I understand that the White Sox have shown a little bit of interest in him. And wasn't Cincinnati in talks with Cincinnati as well?
Yeah, well, the White Sox had interest in him until they made the trade, you know, and that kind of filled their outfield void. Once they picked up Nomar Mazara, that was pretty much the end of them bringing in another outfielder. Yeah, Cincinnati has been rumored to be in on just about every outfielder that's out there. You know, it's just a matter of are they going to get a deal done with them? But, you know, now they're also in the middle of this, you know, all these Francisco Lindor rumors with the Indians, you know, and I mean, with the outfielders on the market, if I could get Lindor, I would probably focus on that first and then worry about filling out my outfield after that. So
if they got a Lindor, they would be a very, very interesting team to compete in the NL Central for next season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they look better as it is. If they add him, it could be really, really frightening. I mean, you know, you could actually have four legitimate contenders in that division along with the Pirates.
Yeah, well, we can discount the Pirates for the next few years, I'm sure. But yeah, that division would be very competitive. And right now, I pick them to wind up ahead of the Cubs, barring any changes in their lineup right now.
Yeah, you know, the tough part becomes on, you know, what is a team going to be willing to give up for Lindor? You know, he's got 2 years left arbitration. He's got this year and next year before he becomes a free agent. So, the Indians are going to want a big-time package of players. You know, they're going to come looking for your prospects. So it's the team with those, you know, big, strong farm systems that are in on this, you know, the Reds, the Dodgers, you know, these kind of teams. So we'll see if they can get something done or, you know, if they're willing to make that big leap. But, man, you know, if Lindor lands in a Dodger uniform, they have to become the World Series favorite.
They would have to be. And if they do peddle Lindor for prospects, does that mean they're done as a contender for the next 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, well, even with him, they're pretty much done. You know, they moved Corey Kluber already. There's talks that they're actually taking calls on Mike Clevenger, who without Kluber is probably their best starter. So they're just, you know, they're selling off as many pieces as they can at this point for whatever reason. You know, they decided it's time to, you know, to break down and retool. So, you know, we'll have to see how it works out. But I would hate to be an Indians fan at this point. I really would.
Yeah, it's sad to see. And so that means that by default, the Twins have to be the overwhelming choice to repeat
yeah.
as the American League champions in the Central Division for next season.
Yeah, it's the Twins. And as of now, I mean, their only competition appears to be the White Sox. You know, because, I mean, the Tigers are still a mess. You know, the Royals aren't close, and the Indians look to be going in the other direction. So that, you know, it's down to those two by default.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the White Sox are going to be better than a 500 team next season. I think they'll be quite improved, but will they be better than 500? Can they actually compete for the division title? I have my doubts. Although I think they'll be quite strong in maybe in 2021 and 2022.
Yeah, I was quite disappointed that they missed out on all the pitching. You know, all the pitching that I thought they should get. And, in an odd turn, I mean, they actually offered Steven Strasburg and Zach Wheeler more money than they got from the teams they signed with. So that, you know, that was kind of interesting, but I really would have liked to seen them reel in Bumgarner, you know, and I know they've signed Gio Gonzalez, so they did add a veteran starter, which I know they desperately needed, but I wanted a big time stud type of veteran starter, not a Gio Gonzalez type of starter for this team.
Yeah. I'm not that thrilled with the signing of Gio Gonzalez, and they would have been their better interest to sign a better pitcher than Gonzalez. Although he did have his moments last season, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, he's been pretty solid for the Brewers the last couple of years. You know, like I was surprised that it took him so long to find a home last year, but you know, he ended up making 19 starts. He pitched in 17 games. He was 3-2 with a 3.50 ERA. So, you know, I mean, if he can give them, you know, 25, 30, maybe even 32 starts if they're lucky, and, you know, he can keep them in the games. Maybe he can win 10, 11, 12 games for them. It won't be a bad signing, but I was kind of looking for that guy to put them over the hump and win like 16 or 18 games.
That would have been great for them.
So,
and then they might have really competed against the Twins. And now you have a thin starting pitching.
And Michael is still out there, but I don't believe either one of those guys is that stud at the top of the rotation. You know, he's not a stopper that you want. Both guys are really good pitchers. But I just don't see them as guys that you go, oh, wait a minute, we're facing this guy. Oh, no. So.
Yeah, that didn't happen, at least not yet. And, of course, there's still time to sign another pitcher, but I don't see it happening for them at the moment.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like they're they're on that track now. And I wouldn't actually be surprised if they're done. You know, they added the outfielder in the trade. They signed the Grandal, and now they added the pitcher. You know, maybe just a bullpen piece here or there, like every team seems to be doing. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them done making big moves unless they've got some kind of deal in the works, but I doubt that.
I didn't think it was a bad deal when they signed that outfielder, although I know he has defensive liabilities. He seems like he could hit a lot of home runs for them in that ballpark. At least 25.
Yeah, you know, I thought they made a pretty good deal, but you know, for and you know, we get back into this point, and I again, this is the thing I don't understand. Everybody freaked out because they gave up a prospect for him. But it's like, this is kind of what you have to do in today's game. Plus, we don't know what these guys are going to be. I mean, I don't think this kid had played above A ball, and we're worried about dealing him for a player who can contribute right now.
Yeah, I was wondering about some of the people who were so opposed to that deal, and I thought it was a pretty good one myself, as I mentioned before.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I guess it's just one of those things where, you know, apparently you don't deal these prospects, but yeah, I'm looking at, you know, I mean, he had good numbers last year. I mean, he had 10 home runs and 62 RBI, stole 13 bases, hit .284 in Class A ball. Now, that's both levels, low A and high A. So, you know, that's where he is. I mean, we're talking about a 23-year-old guy who's still hanging around in Class A. Minimum, he's 3 years away from contributing. And we're going to freak out for a guy who, you know, averaged 20 bombs in his career for a bad team, you know, that hits .260 lifetime at the major league level.
If he were in Double A, even Double A, I would have said maybe I would be reluctant to make that deal. But if he's doing that in Class A, like you pointed out, he's 2 or 3 years away at least from being a major leaguer. And who knows what will happen when he gets to the big leagues.
Yeah, and then, you know, you also add him to the White Sox, who are loaded with outfield prospects. So, you know, unless he could switch positions, and he's left-handed, so it's not like he can come in and play the infield except first base. So, you know, I mean, okay, the guys in front of him. So did it really hurt to give up that guy?
I don't think so.
You know,
I think it was a good deal. I think it was a very good deal for them. As I pointed out, I would not be surprised if this guy hit over 25 home runs for them next season.
So, yeah, it just continues to get baffling when, you know, you see, you know, well, oh, God, I can't believe they gave up this prospect. And then we never hear of this guy again. Okay, well, what happened to him?
You know? There's always second guessing when a prospect turns out to be a great ball player. But
yeah,
you take your chances, and sometimes it will backfire on you. And right now, the Cubs are second guessing giving up Jimenez for Quintana.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of things like that. I mean, like, I still hear people complain about the Cubs giving up Torres for Chapman, but if you don't have Chapman, you probably don't win that World Series.
No,
so
it seems like
a pretty good deal to me. You know, it seems like a pretty good deal to me. You won a World Series, but yet you did have to give up someone who appears to be on his way to just being a fantastic player for a long time, but you won a World Series, and that's the ultimate goal.
And you have to give the Yankees credit. They must have done their due diligence in scouting this guy. And they wound up getting Chapman back anyway the following season. So what did it hurt them? They gave up Chapman for half a season, and they wound up with Torres.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, that's, you know, again, that's when you want to win, I mean, that, you know, these are the prices you have to pay when you need these set pieces. I mean, you're not always going to get lucky like the Nationals and run into a Daniel Hudson who all of a sudden figures out how to close, you know, at the end of the season and through the playoffs when he's never been able to do it before. So.
Yeah, they certainly got hot. They played a great second half of the season, Washington, and then they got hopped in the playoffs and when they beat the Dodgers, you knew that they have a chance, a fighting chance to win it all.
Yeah, well, you know, any time you can, you have a three pitcher lineup like that, and you can run it out in a playoff series, you're gonna have a chance. You know, their big issue was that just that bullpen was so bad during the season, and then you know they picked up Hudson, and I don't believe they had to give up much for him. I want to see what they ended up trading for him. You know, because he wasn't tearing it up with the Blue Jays. He was 6-3 for Toronto in 45 games with a 3 ERA, but he wasn't closing. So, you know, and then he came over to Washington. He was lights out. He was 3-0 in 24 games, had a 1.44 ERA and picked up 6 saves. You know, and then you know, you got him going into the playoffs where he was just, you know, out of control. You know, he saved 4 games. He made, 9 appearances, only gave up 4 runs in the series against Houston, had a, you know, one rough outing there. But, yeah, he hit the stride just perfectly. And where is it here? Oh, not quite far enough down. Come on. They gave up a player by the name of Kyle Johnston for him.
Yeah, not too much there.
He's a right-handed pitcher who, combined in Class A, he pitched in for both teams at high Class A, 24 starts, 26 games, 124 and two-thirds innings. He went 10-12 with a 4.98 ERA.
They didn't give up too much, did they?
I know some of those leagues are hitters leagues, so the ERAs can be inflated at times, but even so, they didn't give up a boatload to get the guy who basically won them the series. So
what really helped them also is the fact that the first round was only 5 games. If that first round had been 7, I'm not sure I would have liked their chances against the Dodgers.
So, you know, but that, you know, that's kind of how it works out. Again, I mean, you can, when you have 3 guys who could legitimately be number one on your staff, you can do the kind of things they did last year. So
yeah,
it's just the process of getting in. And once you're in, you're deadly. That's why I always thought the Mets had a shot, because if they could just get in, they could unleash those starters, and they could be tough for teams to beat.
Yeah, they just the Mets just haven't been able to go past that injury bugaboo that's killed them for the last few seasons.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, now obviously they'll have to find a way to replace Wheeler, but you know, they're still looking at DeGrom and Syndergaard at the top. You know, that's still 2 pretty good guys to go 1-2.
Yeah, but I don't see them being good enough to beat Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, I do just seem to wonder if Atlanta is just going to be that team that perpetually wins the division and never goes any farther in the playoffs.
Well, that happened to them many for a long time when they won year after year after year. Mm-hmm. They finally won it all, but it seemed like they would get eliminated in the playoffs rather quickly. And they must have won 10 years in a row winning their division. And how many times did they go all the way? Maybe once.
Yeah, I think that you know, Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine team only won 1 World Series.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, I mean, even, you know, even to the point where they are, I mean, if they, you know, if they somehow, if they don't end up getting Donaldson back, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they try to fill the void. You know, like I like the Cole Hamels ad, because I think they needed that one just veteran guy. They just kind of needed the veteran influence, because their starters are really young. You know, they don't need a veteran who's going to got to come in and win 15, 18 games. They just need a veteran to give them some innings and kind of show him how to, you know, because, you know, Hamels, remember, he's a World Series MVP, and, you know, he's got the experience. So that, you know, that was a nice signing. But yeah, I wonder, because you kind of start looking at it. I mean, if they don't get Donaldson back, you can plug Austin Riley back in third, which is where he played all along, you know, through the minors. But then you're looking at your outfield is Nick Markakis, Ender Inciarte, and Ronald Acuna. Not the strongest top to bottom outfield there. I mean, obviously Acuna is great, but you know, Markakis is going to be, what is he now? He's 36.
Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah.
Would you be surprised if they re-signed Donaldson?
No, I know they want to. It's just, you know, if they're going to do it, they might have to go to that fourth year. So,
well, he certainly played very well for them last season, that's for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, looking here, I mean, you know, they don't have any infielders really well-ranked in their pipeline. You know, both their infielders that are ranked in their top, one's 23, one's 24, are both in Class A. So, again, it's two guys that are a long, long way away from contributing.
Yeah, it'll take them at least 2-3 years before they're ready.
So, you know, that's tough. And, I mean, they do have a couple outfielders that are very well ranked, you know, looking like AAA bound. So maybe it's possible, if they don't get Donaldson back, one of them could come up and contribute, you know, in some kind of outfield mix there. So I guess that's a possibility.
It is, and they do seem to have a strong farm system.
Oh, they're loaded with young pitching if they want to try to make a deal or if they're interested in maybe going that route. I mean, they have pitching to burn in the minors. So they wouldn't have any problem making a deal, but so far they've been hesitant to do it.
Yeah, and well, they may do it eventually. Time will tell. And I'm wondering if there'll be some movement to the first of the year, some of these deals, trades, and signings of free agents.
Yeah, well, you know, I think because there's a lot of teams looking for third basemen. So, you know, once Donaldson finally does come off the board, you know, it's going to open up a lot of possibilities. I mean, I know, like, you know, Astroval Cabrera is out there, and he had a really good year last year. You know, and while he's not a marquee free agent, he could be a nice fill-in for the right team. You know, but after him, I don't think there's anybody out there that, you know, you could count on as an everyday type of guy. So you would have to look for that trade market to really heat up. And, you know, maybe we'll actually see, I didn't believe it, but maybe we'll see a Nolan Arenado get moved or, a lot of Chris Bryant talk. And, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. So,
once Donaldson signs, do you think the Cubs are going to make an effort to trade Chris Bryan?
Well, when you start looking at the board, here's some of the names after Donaldson comes off. I mentioned Cabrera. You know, Starlin Castro played some third base last year, so they included him here. There's the injury-prone Matt Duffy, the 34-year-old Todd Frazier. You know, Jung Ho Gang is out there if you want to take a shot with that and see if you could rehab him. And, you know, then there's 34-year-old Neil Walker. Would you rather trade for Chris Bryant or bring one of these guys into play full time?
Yeah, maybe you would probably want to see Bryant ahead of those guys.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, where the market is leading, you know, these guys, it's going to be, you know, hey, yeah, I think we're going to have to go this route and we're going to have to explore, you know, the trade market, you know, over, you know, whatever else is left out there. Because I know, like, the Rangers are looking for a big-time name to build around with their new ballpark. I think they would rather have Arenado because he's signed and he's locked up for a long time. You know, if you get Bryant, he may only hang around a year or two because he's going into free agency.
You don't want
to deal with that BS.
Texas certainly wants to become competitive, and they want to be a contender for next season. So they may make some major moves before it's all said and done. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and you know they added some nice kind of under the radar pitching pieces. So if that works out, and they can hit, they could be competitive. I mean, obviously Kluber wasn't an under the radar pickup, but I believe they signed Kyle Gibson, and they may have added another arm to the bullpen. So it's a solid off season, but yeah, if they could top that off with a Nolan Arenado, that would really make their off season and get them a lot closer to, the A's and the Astros.
For sure. Yeah, they would be very competitive if they got that one of those players, one of those quality players. But it's not easy to do.
No, and that's the tough thing. I mean, even to make a move like that, I mean, you're going to have to strip that farm system, and that's kind of tough to do. Because obviously you have injuries and things happen, and you run into a situation a little like that the Cubs ran into, where you had guys getting hurt and there was nobody to go to in the minors. There was just nobody there to help. So.
Yeah, the Cubs had that window for a few years when they had all those top players in the minors, but once they brought them up, they had nothing left.
Yeah. They did the right thing. They used what they had to do to win the World Series. And, it's tough, but, this happens. And, it doesn't look like Ian Happ is going to work out. Maybe he'll turn it around this year. Like Kyle Schwarber's a home run hitter. He never turned into the all-around player I think a lot of people had hoped he would, especially by going to the outfield. They sent Addison Russell packing, so, he was a very good defender but kind of a poor hitter. And now you're just kind of like, okay, great, what's left? I mean, they haven't developed a pitcher in I don't know how long, and that's just
right.
Going to continue. So,
right.
I don't know.
Schwarber did have a very solid last half of the season, though, right? He did hit very well, for after the All-Star break. Now, does that mean he's going to be in the market for the trade?
Not looking to come in at 240 or whatever. I'm looking at a guy who's going to come in at 260 or 270. Half a year doesn't do me any good. I need you to play all 162 games.
Yeah, it does help, but as we pointed out in the previous, how many players
through the playoffs?
Yeah,
but if he would have got hot in the first round of the playoffs, which the Cubs didn't get in, and hit about 600 and carried the team, I wouldn't have any problem with it then. But it doesn't do me any good if you get hot in October and we're five games out watching everybody else go to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's for sure, and maybe when they get hot is when the pressure is off the ball player. We're out of contention, and then they swing a hot bat. But let's see them do it when the pressure is on, when there's a meaningful games.
And that does happen to, quite a few guys. So, the less pressure situations, the better they seem to hit.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of the Cub fans, myself included, have soured a little bit on Chris Bryan because even though his stats look pretty good, I thought he failed dismally in the clutch many, many times during the course of the last two seasons. And yes, I know he was injured, but I expected more than what we've seen so far, at least.
Yeah, you can just add him to the list of, Cub failures. You know, I mean, there's so many to add to that. You know, since, I mean, them and the Indians have to be the two most disappointing teams since going to the World Series out there.
Yeah, but compare the two teams. Look how many games the Indians won last season. And look how many.
Yeah, but it helped. You know, the division they're in
is weak.
You know, I mean, they don't have to play. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, they're playing the, you know, the Tigers and the Royals 17 times or whatever it is, 17 or 19 or whatever. So it's, you know, that's a big plus there. And, you know, obviously the White Sox were still rebuilding. So, yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a very weak division. There's no getting away from it. That's probably one of the weakest divisions, if not the weakest division
in
baseball.
Yeah, you know, with the exception the Cubs get the Pirates and, you know, everybody else, you know, the Reds were decent last year, not great, but they were decent. And obviously the Brewers and the Cardinals were better because they went to the playoffs ahead of the Cubs.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but that's how, you know, sadly that's how these things go.
That's baseball for you.
See if they can save everything or who does what. But, yeah, it'll be fun to see who chases what once Donaldson signs. You know, because the Dodgers are another team that seem intent on getting themselves a third baseman. You know, and boy, they're another team that's just prospect rich. You know, which I could also see them getting Lindor and then shifting Corey Seager to third base. So that, you know, that would also be a possibility. But you know, it's definitely a lot of stuff to keep an eye on as it rolls around, and I'm glad it's moving this year, unlike last year. So
yeah, it's interesting, and I don't see any team but the Dodgers winning their division for the next 5 years, at least.
Well, you know, I mean, depending on who does what or who signs what, you know, it can change. You know, I mean, like if the Padres were to land at the top pitcher or, you know, something like that, they could begin to compete. But, you know, 5 years is a long time period to, you know, to ask, you know, guys to keep doing what they're doing. So, you know, maybe the next couple. But I could see definitely San Diego kind of headed on the right path. And, you know, they've also tried to land some of these bigger guys this offseason and just haven't had any luck. You know, like the White Sox, teams have been taking to go to, you know, just other spots, you know, where they want to go instead of going where, you know, might have been more money for you.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I always feel warmer when we start talking about baseball because that means that our winter is coming to a close, but we still have a couple of months before spring training, don't we?
Yeah, I forgot. I saw somebody put up a number the other day, and I forgot what it was. But, you know, I mean, at this point in Chicago, it's just baseball is what we have to look forward to, right? I mean, the football team isn't going anywhere, neither is the basketball or the hockey team. So, you know, I guess it's better to talk about that.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think about it, but in my opinion, Of our five major teams, I think the White Sox look the most interesting to me and appear to be the most competitive over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, it sure looks like it's going that way. But, you know, kind of flipping towards football here, you know, I got to tell you, I found this entire Jacksonville Jaguar situation just kind of precarious and I was shocked when I found out that 25% of the player grievances filed out of all the grievances, and I'm obviously in a union, so I understand all about these grievances, but 25% against one team is just gigantic, and I'm wondering, now obviously you're an older gentleman, I'm not quite as old as you, so Tom Coughlin falls in between us, he's 73. Was this just an old man out of touch and just kind of not understanding and getting carried away with finding these guys? I mean, One player got $700,000 returned to him in fines because Coughlin fined him because he was doing rehab off-site. He wasn't doing it with the Jaguars. He was doing it with his personal training staff. And he fined him for that. So was this just, you think this just was a, you know, an old guy out of touch or what the, or was he just trying to be a dictator?
I think, I don't know if he was out of touch or not, but I certainly think that he's not doing things that are currently the politically correct, let's put it that way. I think that he's a little more stringent than some of the younger fans, younger owners, the younger coaches, call it what you will, but I think he's sticking to his guns, and if a guy doesn't do something properly, he'd find them, and there's some justification in that, he signs a contract, the player signs a contract, and if there's a rehab involved, he's supposed to do it the way that the club wants him to do it, and
he can do it his way now, according to the rules. So
yeah, but not according to what Coughlin said, right? Coughlin, he was a little bit more adamant about it.
In his mind, he thought he should be rehabbing with the team. But, you know, like one of his other fines, he fined Leonard Fournette $100,000 for sitting on the bench during a game that he was made inactive for. So he sat on the bench and watched the game and got fined $100,000.
Yeah, that does seem a little bit excessive to me.
So, yeah, it just kind of, you know, just, you know, some of the things that, you know, got, you know, ended up. And obviously, you know, Dante Fowler was the guy who got fined the $700,000. He now plays somewhere else. This year, Jalen Ramsey forced the trade. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. He's now gone, so it cost them two top players. You know, then Coughlin was responsible for the Blake Bortles draft pick, which didn't work out. As we know in Chicago here, drafting a quarterback high doesn't always pay off for you.
No, that's true. That's very true.
But, yeah, I think he only made the right decision to fire him. He said he was going to wait till the end of the year, but once this story broke, I think it was a good PR move to kind of send him packing.
Well, the team hasn't been doing all that well, let's face it, and they had to make a change.
So, yeah, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it works out with the general manager or the head coach, how they will, you know, if they'll kind of be able to manage the storm through this. And I did hear, apparently the players are supporting the coach, but when the team isn't very good, I don't know what that actually means for you. But, yeah, it was just such an odd situation when you started hearing about it. And, you know, I know one of the humorous things, you know, like when I remember hearing when Coughlin was the Giants coach, and, you know, I believe he won a couple Super Bowls with the Giants, but his rule was if you were 5 minutes early, you were late. So Jacksonville actually had all their clocks set ahead so players wouldn't be late to things. And I guess one of the things they kind of did ceremonially this week was they set all the clocks to the right time so everybody would know what time it exactly was.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. And I don't know, it does sound like maybe he's a little bit too dictatorial, especially in today's climb. I mean,
yeah.
And so a decision had to be made, and I guess that was the right one to make.
So, yeah, and, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're getting that many grievances filed and, you know, something's going on, and, you know, because it gets to the point where the players' union were actually expressing to players that they would want to make sure they really looked into it before signing there. So now you've got this whole, you know, over your head as well as the union's telling people not to go play for you. Yeah, that's
a
big
that's
deal.
Not good. That is a big deal. A big deal. Was it dictatorial, you think, or you think just blatant arrogance on his part?
You know, honestly, I just think it was a guy who was out of touch. You know, I believe that, you know, when he was with the Giants or maybe when he was with the Jaguars the first time, it would have been okay to fine the players for what he fined them for. But, you know, in today's game and with the unions and stuff, you can't do that. You know, they're not going to let you get away with it. And, you know, and while the football players union isn't as strong as some of the other unions in sports, you know, if they're winning grievances and getting players money back, there had to be something really wrong out there.
I have the feeling that George Halas and Vince Lombardi and even several other people I can think of would have a lot of trouble coaching today.
Oh yeah. So it would be a nightmare. I mean, just myself, and obviously I never coached at that level, but I did a lot of youth sports coaching. There's no way I could handle it today with the way, you know, kids are coddled and, you know, players and that kind of stuff. They would run me out in 2 days.
Yeah. It's a totally different world now. And, sometimes I'm not sure it's for the best. There are certain things that are good, a little more tolerant than we are. When you look at other human beings and their proclivities and everything else, we're more tolerant. But have we gone just too far the other way in terms of political correctness?
Yeah, you do have to wonder at times if, you know, things just kind of get that way, but I don't know. But I did want to bring some picks back for you, you know, as we wait for, I think Illinois has got a bowl game coming up, so we'll have to get that pick down the road. But I wanted to throw at you, we have three NFL games tomorrow. They are actually all on the NFL Network, so I will be unable to watch them thanks to good old UVerse, which never got the NFL Network back for me. But, you know, they have a noon kickoff, a 3:30 kickoff, and then a 7:15. So we'll start with the noon game. We got the Houston Texans at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who you got winning that game?
That's a tough one. I will go with Houston, though.
All right. Then the middle game features the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots. So who you going with there?
Well, you know, the New England always tapers off towards the end of the season. However, I think they're going to bounce back, and I'm going to go with the Patriots to win that one.
All right.
But it'll be a very close competitive game, though.
All right. The nightcap features – we got a couple good division games. Boy, I'm going to miss out here. We got the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. Who's winning there?
I'm going with the 49ers to win that one.
All right, so we'll put them all down. And, yeah, I mean, catching up, you are 70-32. So you've been doing pretty well with these. So we'll see how – something a little different, though. So we'll see how football goes for you here as things
roll around.
There's
some tough games. Those are three very competitive games tomorrow that you won't be able to see.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it should be – hopefully, you know, they'll be good. I guess I can always listen to them on the radio or something. But
I'm surprised that not one of those games are on ESPN or any of the other – because usually when the Saturday games start in the NFL after the college football season is over, they're not always on the NFL Network.
Yeah, no, I was shocked when I saw that all three, you know, I figured maybe the first game would be on there and then they would move one and, you know, one someplace else. And, you know, normally NBC does the night games when it's like this. But, yeah, no, all three tomorrow are on the NFL Network. And I don't know if, you know, they'll probably have Saturday. I think they're going to have Saturday. Will they have Saturday games next week or, you know, I'm not sure.
Do.
But
I'm sure for the finale they'll have some Saturday games as well. For the week of the season.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember. I think they do the thing where all the games start at just about the same time or something like that, kind of like baseball's doing to kind of make it more
that.
Even.
That's interesting. I didn't know that football was doing the same thing. I know baseball did that the last couple of years, the last game of the season.
Yeah, I think they just started that. I'm not sure. I'll maybe if I get a chance, I'll look into it and see where it is. But yeah, who knows? I mean, obviously, we're all interested in Sunday night when, the Bears play the Chiefs. I know you'll be riveted for that game.
Well, at least for the first half. And do you anticipate a blowout there? Are they going to make it interesting?
I don't know. You think the Bears will blow them out? Oh. So.
No, I don't think so. And if the Bears do get blown out, can you imagine what the Boo Birds will be doing at Soldier Field during the course of that game?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting game. I mean, San Diego, Kansas City is, a really good team. And obviously that's where Nagy came from. So.
Well, since the coaches are friends, maybe you'll take it easy and only win by 14.
Yeah, I guess, what happens or what doesn't happen. But yeah, I don't know what we're looking at. I don't know if it's going to be a good game, a bad game, or what it's going to be.
You know what the point spread is in that game?
I saw it earlier and I forgot. I want to say it was Kansas City by maybe, I think the one I saw was 3.5.
I guess because it's a home game, I was thinking maybe 6, but I guess maybe they figure it'll be more competitive because the Bears are playing at home.
Yeah, and obviously every one is different, so you can get lines all over the place for different bets depending on if or what you want to spend, and
That's true.
Can get just about anything. I wonder. Let's see if I can find one here real quick. It's the Sunday game, so it's probably going to be Sunday night game. It'll probably be the bottom one, that and the Monday night game, right? So.
While you're looking,
okay.
I have one final question to ask you.
Oh boy.
This is an easy one. Are the Packers overrated?
When you win, can you be overrated when you keep winning?
I think so. I think it can be over. I don't know. They just don't impress me that much this season.
You could say yes. Oh, here you go. Oh no, look at this. I have every line. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 5 line betting lines rated. And everyone has Kansas City +6.
Ah, my guess
so.
Is right. Not that it means anything, of course.
And then the total on the game is 44.5 points. So, yeah, they got the Chiefs by a little less than a touchdown.
Well, that seems logical to me. Yeah, 6 seems a lot more logical than 3.5.
If you're gambling, if you're a gambling man, but it looks like since it's right underneath it, the Monday night game is, and it looks like Green Bay is a 5.5 point favorite in that. I'm a little surprised it's that big.
Yeah, especially since we were just talking about being overrated, but it's hard to go against the odds makers. They're usually pretty right on, spot on when they make their selections.
Yeah. Well, that's why that's why Vegas stays in business, right? Because these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do that.
That's because I always look at, I'll see those guys on the phone, thinking, man, how could that be right? And then it hits, and you're like, oh, geez. So. Well, all right. Look at that. It's a holiday. We're gonna be gone for a little while. I'm not gonna be back till next Monday. So, thanks for listening. expectations of better life. Remember that Twitter feeds is fast forward from radio. Feel free to hunt me down on Twitter and look all the time. There's always really central to me live if you stop by the big screen. But if not, hey, come right on over to tunein.com and listen to whatever you want.